Hello and welcome to the Matt and Kendall Hagee podcast. Kendall and I are always excited to share with you great conversations that we've either had with our friends or just on a topic that matters to us.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast and remember to subscribe. Tell your friends how they can join this conversation because we hope that this has made a difference in your everyday life.
We're continuing to discuss the things that God's Word empowers us to do, and how there's essential parts of our life that must be properly established in order for the weight of God's Word and His promises to come to pass. I was using for the last couple of weeks the analogy of a banqueting table and the four legs of that table. Those four legs being the Word of God, our salvation in Christ Jesus, our life of obedience and discipleship, following in Christ, water baptism, our profession of faith, and the power of the Holy Spirit. When these four things are established in our life, then all of the things that are in God's Word are not only upheld, but we're able to benefit from them. For example, as we discussed for the last several weeks, prayer and a lifestyle of worship. Or consider another dish that God serves at His banqueting table. David, he somewhat writes a critique of the food in Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. This passage states, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives you of all of your iniquities and heals you of all of your diseases." Whenever you understand the benefits that God provides based on this particular psalm and song of praise, it's very similar to the things that we're describing that are essential to your life as a believer. Not only is prayer and worship one of the promises that enables us to access God, but healing from sickness and disease is something that God wants you to desperately have. It's a consistent theme throughout His Word. In Exodus, whenever He introduced Himself to the children of Israel, He said, "I am the Lord who heals all of your diseases." The prophecies that were foretold about Jesus Christ, in Isaiah, it says, "By His stripes we are healed." Those same words are repeated by Peter when he was writing to the New Testament church. And by His stripes we are healed. In the book of James, we read that the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. You cannot look at God's Word and not consistently recognize that it is His desire for you to walk in divine health and strength. Now, oftentimes, we want to get down into the weeds and ask ourselves, where did sickness come from? And the truth is that sickness is a byproduct of a fallen world. Sickness did not exist before Adam and Eve fell from their intended state into a state of sin. Sickness is the end result of sin, but it's not because of sin. I want to say that again because it's very important that you understand the difference. Sickness is not because of the sin in your life. Sickness is because the state of sin in the world. It would be like saying that the curse that was placed upon the ground for Adam, "Thorns and thistles shall it bear for you," that if you had a thorn growing in your front yard, it's because God was upset with you about something that you hadn't confessed. That's silly. And in like manner, it's silly to suggest that any of us endure any measure of sickness because of something that we did displeasing to God. We live in a fallen world, and there's consequences to that world. Sickness is because of the fallen state of this world. And that begins with Satan. 1 John chapter 3 and 8, it says, "The devil has sinned from the beginning." So we have the end result of sin creating sickness, but it's God who heals you. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes we have been healed. Go read this same comparison in John 10:10. Jesus is speaking and he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life more abundantly. Now ask yourself, if God wanted us to be sick, why would he have suffered the brutal stripes upon his back to pay for our sickness and our healing? Why would Christ say that he wants us to have life more abundantly? It is not God's will for you to walk in sickness. No father would wish an illness upon his child, and I promise you that what we have in our life is a good father who wants the best for us. This is why the Bible says in 3 John 2:2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and you be in good health. Not that you be in good spirits, not that you live in happy times. There's all kinds of blessings that you could extend, but I wish that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. But what we need to realize is that based upon God's word, based upon the promises that are there, you can be healed. Last week's requirements that we listed, obedience. Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of God and do what is right in his sight, this is God's promise, I will put none of these diseases upon you because I am the Lord who heals you. Why was that an important thing for God to say to his children? Because the children of Israel were familiar with all kinds of deities. Egypt was a polytheistic society. They had many gods. They had a sun god. They had the crocodile. They had the frog. They had the Nile River. They had the moon and all of these different things that they worshiped for different reasons. Pharaoh was a god. And in each and every one of the plagues that God gave power to Moses to profess and to bring upon Egypt for their treatment of the Jewish people, God was individually dismantling every false god that the children of Israel had seen worshiped for the last 400 years. From the very first encounter, Moses' staff becomes a cobra. Jannes and Jambres throw down their staffs, they become cobras. But Moses' cobra eats their cobras. A cobra was an Egyptian god. The cobra was the symbol that was on the helmet of Pharaoh. And what God was communicating to everyone in Pharaoh's throne room and to every Israelite in Egypt is, I am greater than the false gods who have held you captive. So when he turned the Nile to blood, he defeated another god. When he caused the sun to come to darkness, he defeated another god. When he brought Pharaoh down to the Red Sea and he drowned him, he defeated another god. But the children of Israel were familiar not only with deity, but how deity treated those who were on earth. You see, all of those false gods, it was taught that if you were sick, it was because you were cursed. Those gods used sickness to punish you. And what God was saying to the children of Israel in this verse is, I would never use illness to punish you. I am the Lord who heals you. I am different than all of those false gods that you've heard so much about. Not only is obedience required so that we would walk in divine healing, but servitude. Exodus 23:25. If you serve the Lord your God, he will bless you and take sickness from you. Not just obedience and service, but faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We talked last week in our Sunday conversation about what happens when you doubt and you're not in right relationship or agreement with yourself. Doubting is simply not trusting God. That lack of trust causes you to question whether or not God will do what He said. And God is too faithful, and God is too consistent, and God is so unchanging that He does not allow you to doubt and receive at the same time. You cannot doubt God's promises and walk in them. What you have to understand and remember is what the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear is putting faith in doubt. And when it comes to this area of sickness, fear is a tremendous enemy. I know it not only in my own life, but you've heard Pastor Hagee talk about this in the challenges that he's faced in his life. The first knock that comes on the door is fear. Why? Because it wants you to begin to believe and doubt that God is no longer able to take care of you. The doctor walks in and says, "This is the diagnosis," and fear grabs you around the throat. You start to Google what's going to happen based upon what other experts say, and fear starts to be like a heavy coat and a garment that you wear. The more you listen to the voice of fear, the harder it is for you to believe that God can overcome these things, but He's done it time and time and time again, and He'll do it again if you allow Him to. Why? Because He loves you that much. Perfect love casts out all fear. If you don't believe that, then you start to meditate on the idea, well, maybe God did that for this person because He loves them more than me. God is no respecter of persons, but He does honor principles. And the principles of obedience and servitude and faith, those are principles that work in the Word of God each and every time. So what does the Bible say about the blessings of the Lord concerning healing? Well, just consider this one verse, Mark 16. This comes directly from the Great Commission. Verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized." How many of the legs on the table are we seeing here? The Word of God, that's the preaching. Believing, that's faith and salvation in Christ. Baptized, that's obedience. "He who believes and is baptized will not be condemned. And these signs shall follow him who believes." Here comes the fourth leg. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them." Listen to this. "If they lay hands on the sick, they will recover." God's means of healing you. How does He do this? There's three things that God uses. And God will use you not only to receive healing, but to extend healing to someone else. God uses prayer. First, it's based upon His Word. Psalms 107 and verse 20, one of my favorite verses. "He sent His word and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions." He sent His word and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destructions. Now, oftentimes, we want God to send His word and it be the audible voice that we hear. But what we have to realize is that God has already sent His word. God has already sent His word. You've heard me say it, and you'll hear me say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and nothing was made that was made without the Word. John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us." When God sent Jesus Christ into the world, He sent His Word. And what did that Word do? It healed. It healed sickness and disease. It made the lame leap. It caused the dead to live. It opened blinded eyes and deaf ears. It enabled those who had palsy and paralysis to no longer live under those conditions. It healed us of unrighteousness. It forgave us of our sins. It broke the chains. Everything that you have in your life was done because Psalm 107 was fulfilled when God sent His word. Consider the miracle of the centurion, where the centurion comes to Christ and he says, "Just say the word." And Christ turns to his disciples and says, "Greater faith I have not found in all of Israel." Christ was astonished that the centurion believed that all Christ had to do was say the word. Well, here's the thing. The centurion put his faith in the word that Christ could speak. All we have to do is put our faith in the Christ who came and was the word. His word was sent and it healed them. Christ came and bore our stripes and it healed us. Put your faith in that and see what God can do. I'll share a quick testimony with you in my own family situation, and trust me, there's many. But these were in the lives of my grandmother, Ms. Veda Hagee. When her oldest son, Bill, was about 12 years old, he was diagnosed with epilepsy. And many of you have probably heard this story, as my father shared it many times, but I'll quickly share it with you. In the late 40s and early 50s, when Bill was suffering with this condition, epilepsy was as good as a death sentence. There wasn't any medical treatment for it. There was only a long list of things that the boy couldn't do. She got a call from the school and they said that something had gone wrong with her son, that he was laying on the floor and convulsing. And my grandmother made an appointment, took him to a doctor in Houston. The doctor said he's had an epileptic seizure and they're probably going to happen again. They'll only become more frequent. They'll become more debilitating. Don't let him ride a bike. Don't let him climb a tree. Don't let him play sports. Don't let him do this. Don't let him do that. And all of these don'ts were based upon the fact that epilepsy and seizures were going to change his life. And my grandmother listened to everything the doctor said, and she didn't deny any of them. But she basically said, "I believe God can heal my son. And I'm not going to restrict him from living a normal life because I believe that God will heal my son." Now, that's a profession. But what did she do to demonstrate that she believed what she said? She came home and she told her husband and her family, "I am going to fast every supper meal until God heals Bill." Now, when we talk about fasting, we talk about fasting in terms of days or weeks. When we hear about somebody going on a 40-day fast, we think to ourselves, "Wow, that was intense." And indeed, for many situations and cases, it would be. But my grandmother made a statement, "I will fast until." She wasn't going to put a limit on it. She was putting an outcome on it. It wasn't going to stop until God did something. Now remember, the time in the world that this was. There's no microwave ovens. There's no quick fix dinners. There's no bags of popcorn and pizzas that you can order from down the street. So when it came time to make dinner, she had to make dinner. She served dinner. It was on the table. Her husband came in from work. Her boys came in from outside. All of the family sat down but her. She would excuse herself. And during dinner, she would go get on her knees in her bedroom and ask God to heal her son. She didn't fast a month. She didn't fast a few weeks. She fasted for 3 years. Not once. Not on Christmas. Not on her birthday. Not once did she break that fast because God had yet to heal her son. Now, he had his first seizure when he was 12. When he was 15, they were at church one night. And my grandmother said, "I feel like we should pray for Bill." Understand that prayer had been made on his behalf consistently during this time. Every evangelist that came to town prayed for Bill. Every guest speaker prayed for Bill. The elders prayed for Bill. The church prayed for Bill. The Bible study prayed for Bill. The family prayed for Bill. But on this night, 3 years into this fast, at a Thursday night prayer meeting, my grandmother said, "I believe we should pray for Bill." And on that night, she laid her hands on his head, and the power of God touched his physical body. And from that night until his last breath on this earth, he lived without epilepsy. From the age of 15 until he was 87, he never had another seizure. He served in the military a full career. They would have never allowed him to serve in the combat that he served in or in the stations that he served in had he had that condition. Their admittance of his service to the military was evidence that he had had a physical manifestation of God's healing in his body. Why? Because of obedience, because of service, because of faith, and because God sent his word and made provision for that healing. If God hadn't sent Jesus Christ to bear stripes, Bill had no chance. Everything that the doctor said was going to be his destiny for the rest of his life. And trust me, in those 3 years, he experienced almost all of the things that the doctor said. He had debilitating seizures. He had embarrassing moments. He had challenges on a consistent basis. But the moment that God moved and broke through, he had his miracle. I share that story with you because I know that some of you feel like you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you want this season of sickness in your life to be over. God knows exactly when. God knows exactly how. Our responsibility is to continue to lean and trust and believe in him until what we ask for, we receive, because it's already been paid for by Jesus Christ, who bore the stripes on his back and made it possible. If you're sick today, I'm praying for you. I pray that the word of God that he sent comes into your life and heals you of every sickness and disease so that you can recognize the power of God and you can testify to his goodness and give him glory in the land of the living. I look forward to seeing you again in our next Sunday conversation.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you will join us again.
You know, here on this podcast, it's actually a great opportunity not only for you to receive information through this conversation, but also through the weekly sermons that Pastor Hagee and myself preach at Cornerstone Church. There's more to come on this podcast channel, so please visit us again.